fairy tale. I know this grammar is not right, but I need to put it where you can understand. This ain't no fairy tale. God is real. His word is real. And our situations, they're real. You know? We just need to know that hundreds of thousands of people are dying daily. This is real. So we must get serious and make the changes if we need God to strengthen us, help us, and bring us back into the fold. You know, separate us from our sins. God will do this. Our sins have separated us from God. So we don't want our sins to separate us from God. So we must separate ourselves from sin. And what does that mean? Stop sinning. Luke 6 and 46 says, Jesus is talking about, this is what he's talking about. And he said, why call me Lord, Lord? This is what Jesus is telling these people as he's talking to them. He said, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? See, we're doing that now. We're saying we're Christians. We love the Lord. Lord, we love you. We're crying out, Lord, Lord, but we're not doing what God say. Jesus was teaching, and he was teaching on good and evil. This is what he was teaching about. He was teaching the people about good and evil. And God.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And I just want to read verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. We want to talk about resurrection, rising to new heights in Christ Jesus. I won't be before you long. I want to walk back through the preceding verses just to give you a clear understanding of where we step in here at verse 13, speaking about rising to new heights in Christ Jesus. Paul has written to the church at Ephesus, and in verse 1 he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Listen, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here it is, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My brothers and sisters, when we look at this word and understand how this word is designed to bring us to a new level in Christ Jesus in an ever-increasing, ever-developing fashion, it is to understand that he desires us to move from one level of growth and development to the next level, to not remain babes in Christ, but to grow to maturity, to be concerned one about another, to be able to pray for, stand with, support one another, to come into the unity of the faith. And so, verse 13, there are four thoughts that I really want to focus on, because this is so much here that time would not permit me to do justice to trying to deal with all 13 verses. But I believe in verse 13 itself, there are some important principles for us to gather and gain from this verse. The first thing when we look at this word, when he says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, the first thing that we really ought to understand is he's talking about togetherness. Somebody say togetherness. You see, our problem is we don't really know how to come together. Togetherness is important. It means unity in the sense that Jesus Christ wants us to be unified in the same spirit if we say we're in the same body. There must be unity in order for us to operate efficiently. There must be togetherness if we're talking about being on the same team. If parts of our bodies were to operate independently and different with a different agenda from the whole of the body, then we'd have messed up and dysfunctional bodies. But the whole purpose of the body in parts is to operate as one whole body. So therefore, when something is out of sync in the body, the rest of the body ought to feel it and know it and desire to work on putting it, getting it back together, because we're in this thing together. Somebody say, together is better. Together is better. It means undivided, unbroken completeness or totality with nothing wanting. Did you hear what I just said? Togetherness, unity. It means undivided. I could stop right there. Undivided. Jesus made clear, a house divided against itself shall not stand. It's important to know that you cannot be divided in the body of Christ. He's talking about unbroken. He's talking about a wholeness there that is important for us to understand, that completeness is the ideal of totality, wanting nothing. In other words, when we are pulling together, functioning together, flowing together, there ought not be a need in the body that we together can't work out. Then he goes on and he says, listen, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, of the knowledge, that's important because he's talking about truth. Somebody say truth. Truth. Now, when he talks about knowledge, he's talking about precise and correct knowledge. You see, some people think they know, but do they really know? They've got knowledge, but they really don't have understanding. And understanding of the knowledge means you have precise and correct knowledge. And it's important because the Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You've got to understand that this knowledge that he's talking about, Paul is speaking about, is the truth that is pure, unadulterated. It is the truth that comes from God's word and from God's spirit. It is the truth that we understand that is broken down and given in its purest form, so that that truth will stand throughout time, through all cultures, throughout all concerns, throughout all conditions, because that truth will never change. And so this is the knowledge, the working knowledge from the word of God. Nothing else is even connected with the possibility of truth if it doesn't come from God's word. I'm talking about as it relates to eternal things, as it relates to godly things. If you really want the truth, you've got to get it from the word. Our problem too many times is we bring too much stuff in the world, in the church, and treat it like it's the truth. You can't take principles in the world and try to make them operative in the church when God has already given his plan and his program, his structure and his standard for how they ought to be done in his house. Listen, God has established his own rule. Robert's rule of order has its place. But in the church of God, God's rule of order comes from his own word. We ought to walk like he say walk, talk like he say talk, understand the truth that he has given us from his own word. And that knowledge, the truth of God's word, that knowledge is the very thing that we ought to hold on to. Look, it says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, if you don't really get it and understand it, and a whole lot of folk are saved, but they don't really have the true knowledge of the Son of God. It's not really till you get into Jesus that you really begin to understand who you are. It's not until you really get into Jesus that you begin to understand the authority that you have. It's not really until, see, you can get in church, but if you ain't got into Jesus, you don't know what powers you possessed according to the word of God. It isn't until you understand Jesus that you'll be able to understand John or whoever you are and whatever your name is. It isn't until you come into the knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God, that you are able. How can you do what Jesus did if you don't know what Jesus done? Greater works than these shall ye do. Because I go back to my Father. Whatever you bind on earth, I will, Jesus, bind in heaven. You got to learn about Jesus. You get depressed, you get down because folk are on you. Jesus said, don't worry about it. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And truthfully speaking, the only reason they hate you is because you love me. Don't get it twisted. It ain't all about you, boo. It's really about me and your connection to me. So don't get downhearted. Don't feel bad because the world is dumping on you. That's what the world does. You get mad. You get upset at the lies told on you, at the looks that are given you, at the way men treat you. I don't want you to get comfortable in this world. This world is not your home. You are here on assignment. Listen, and he set the example, the paradigm for us to learn about Jesus and all that he has for you. And you'll be able to live a powerful life that is steeped in the principles and power of Jesus Christ, because you learn, listen, as an heir and a joint heir. He's an heir. We are joint heirs. If you learn he's an heir, and because of Jesus, you now are joined to him. Well, I like to put it this way and make it simple and plain. Because he has a checking account with unlimited resources, you say, Jesus, that's good. But when Jesus say, I'm gonna put you on my account, and it's gonna be Jesus or John, then that means it's a joint account and I can write checks just like Jesus writes checks. And listen, as long as I am on a joint account with him, he's already signed off, given pre-approval of the fact that I can write it, and he trusts me or not enough not to say Jesus and, but Jesus or. You see, when he went to heaven, he gave the keys. What was the keys? Permission to use the power. You don't make it joint and or unless you trust the one that you're putting on, because they could wipe you out. You go to write a check and it says, uh-uh. And you thinking you got so much in, but you don't realize you've given authority to somebody else to write, and they ain't even got the check with you to have it approved by the banking authorities. Thank God for his inexhaustible resources. But you don't get to know all of that stuff if you don't know Jesus. So I want you to look again, because when you understand this word and see what the word says as well, not only the truth that he's talking about in the text, but I want you to see it says, unto a perfect man comes from the Greek word teleos, has the idea of being finished, completeness, perfection, maturity, teleos. Now, coming into this perfect man suggests that right now we are partial in the place where we presently reside. We're a partial man. He says, I want you to be a complete man. I want you to be a mature man. I want you to grow to the place and to the point where you not only know what to do, but you do it. You see, knowledge just means you know. But maturity means you do what you know. How many of us understand the fact that knowledge is important? But the very word knowledge, if you break it down and understand, means that when you know, it puts you on a ledge. No. Ledge. That's why they say a little knowledge. Is a dangerous thing. You know how some folk get a little knowledge and they don't have the full and complete understanding of that knowledge, and they try to throw it out like they really know something, but they don't understand the whole word works together, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament conceals him, the New Testament reveals him, and all of that's put in place so that we can operate in him. And so if we miss this, we miss the fact that he wants us to grow and mature and become complete and to move off the ledge and function in the knowledge we know. And my brothers and sisters, when we begin to understand this place of completeness, the totality of understanding how he wants us to become perfected in that we become mature. There's nothing worse than an old baby. And in no other place do we find more old babies than in the church of God. People who should be long past the point of where they are, should be functioning and flowing in the things of the Spirit of God, knowing the Word of God, having the operation of the Spirit in their lives, and they are so far from that. And this is part of what he wants us to understand in how we are to be growing, developing, increasing unto a perfect teleos man. Then the last thing I want you to understand, it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen to this. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Three words I want you to see: measure, stature, fullness. Measure, stature, fullness. Now, first of all, this word measure literally gives us the understanding of how we come into that place of knowing what this word measure means. It means an instrument for measuring, a vessel for receiving and determining the quantity of things, whether they are dry or liquid, etc. It's a measuring. So in other words, Jesus Christ should be our measuring mark. How many times have we tried to see how far we were by somebody who wasn't as far as we were? Man is not your measuring mark. He's not the tool you use to see how far you've come. You know, just because you think that you have gone, you know, further than somebody else, that's wonderful and that's good in itself. But that person is not the measuring mark. And so when you really want to see how well you're doing, you measure yourself by Jesus. See, right there, that y'all just missed that point right there. No, you don't want to measure yourself by Jesus because Jesus was perfect. But listen at this. The perfection that Jesus walked in, he gave you the privilege through the Holy Ghost to be able to be perfect in that same sense. See, you can't be perfect nor walk in perfection outside of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that gives us the ability to walk in the perfection that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to walk in. That's why when he came into the fullness of his ministry, he was baptized and then received the measureless amount of spirit into his life, out of which he operated his ministry, so that in the earth realm, everything he did was powered by the Holy Ghost. Here's why. Because he was a perfect man, those of us who are not perfect will say, I can't be perfect like Jesus, and therefore cannot do the things like Jesus because Jesus was perfect. So he employed the Holy Ghost to operate and to move and to function and to flow through, and then left him here for us to do the same. So if you're going to be like Christ, you're going to have the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to reveal all things to you and bring back to your remembrance everything he said. He's going to be your guide. He's going to be your guard. He's going to be everything that he was to Jesus in the earth realm. Jesus is your measuring tool. But look at what the next word says, of the stature. Now, it literally means the standard. It's important to understand this stature because it means that is able to be measured in terms of maturity, the stature. All right? Here, if you look at his stature, he said, well, he was a tall man in the flesh. He was 6'2", 6'3", et cetera. That was his height. That's his stature. And you look at this, but in the spirit realm, it's talking about the maturity, his ability for the quality or qualitative state of life. It has to do with how he is comely in his stature, how he is developed in his stature. His form is perfect in the sense of him being complete. Now, when you look at this word and see that this word again compares us not to man, but this word compares us to Jesus's stature. He grew in wisdom, but he also grew in stature, in physical height, in his physical realm. But his physical realm, I want you to see this, was developed to its peak performance. Now, liken that to the spirit realm. And then you find this next word, which says, of the fullness of Christ. Here's the picture. How many folk, just as a young adolescent, has grown up quickly? Great height, great stature,
John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow.